Pretty good, huh? I know. I told you Joseph was going to be a good one. Amen. I hadn't really heard that song. I mean, I think I heard it, but I didn't really know it until this week, but I thought it'd be perfect for the sermon today. Amen. So grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Good to see y'all on this beautiful day the Lord has given us. Amen. All right, let us pray. Father, we praise you this morning, Lord. We thank you for every miracle, for every healing, for every blessing, and for the provision you give us each and every day. Father, we also thank you for every opportunity you give us, Lord, and every opportunity you give us to witness, to give a testimony of what you've done in our lives. And even if we're still working on that testimony, Father God, we praise you. We praise you for all the healing that you've done and that you promised to do for us, Lord. And we thank you for the salvation that we have because of the sacrifice that you've given for us. And so we praise you this morning. We ask that you bless this message and that it opens our hearts and minds and that we can receive it, Lord. Receive the power of it and the love of it into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so my sermon title today is for all of us, amen? Another opportunity, okay? Another opportunity for us to share the gospel, another opportunity for us to pray for one another, and that's exactly what Paul's going to be doing in today's text. He's going to be sharing his testimony once again, amen? There was a young man in his 20s that came to faith in Christ after many years of bad choices and consequences and of breaking the hearts of his mother and all those around him. The reality of his genuine conversion was proven over the dramatic changes that continued throughout his life. And in the midst of his greatest times of rebellion, before coming to Christ, his godly mother would often tell him, "God is building a testimony in your life." And she would constantly pray and wait for God to work his miracle in his life. Now, I know each of us has a testimony to tell. Amen? It might not be on paper. It might not be finished. It might not even be close to done, right? But God, if you believe in him, God is building a testimony in your life. Amen? Today, tomorrow, and always. And so make sure that you guys give God all the glory, amen, now and forever. And take notes, okay, because you are going to put, hopefully you will put this on paper. And take notes because your testimony of a victory in Christ, amen, is one of the strongest tools of evangelism that you're ever going to have, all right? Your own testimony is one of the strongest tools that you will have to evangelize and witness to others. And so Paul, who at this point in the book of Acts has quite the testimony, amen? And he also turned his cell phone ringer off before he started. That's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Newcomers are newcomers. We love you. It's all right. No, don't do that. And so Paul, who at this point in the book of Acts, he has quite the testimony himself. Amen? And he's about to give his testimony again, or they're about to allow him to give his testimony again. In fact, this is going to be the third time that he gives it to these prominent, important people. Amen? And today's text is about Festus unknowingly, okay, setting up another opportunity for Paul to speak to some very important people, right? Just as the Lord had prophesied, amen? This is another opportunity for Paul to speak to very important people, but it's also another opportunity for him to share his victory story, okay? And that's the important thing. Whenever we get that opportunity to share what Christ has done in our lives, take that opportunity, amen, and do it, because it's not only powerful for the people we're speaking to, but it's it reminds us as well. Amen. It's powerful for us too. It reminds us. So you see, Festus is just trying to decide what he's going to do with Paul, right? They left him there, and he's like, what am I going to do with this guy? Paul had definitely made his mark, amen, in Judea, and as a troublemaker and a follower of the way. So Festus didn't know what to do with him, okay? He didn't know what to do with him. And in our first verse, it says, a few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. All right, and I'll explain that later as we get through here. But it says, since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. He said, there's a man here who Felix left as a prisoner. And when I went to Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked that he be condemned. And I told them that it's not the Roman custom just to hand somebody over before they face their accusers and haven't had an opportunity to defend themselves against the charges. And when they came here with me, I did not delay the case, but convened the court the next day and ordered the man to be brought in. And when his accusers got up to speak, they did not charge him with any of the crimes that I expected. Instead, they had some points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus, who Paul claimed was alive. This guy obviously wasn't a believer, amen? I was at a loss on how to investigate such matters, so I asked if he'd be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial there on these charges. So he's speaking to the king, right? This King Herod Agrippa II. And he was to be the last of the Herods, amen? The last of these great evil ruling Herods. You're not going to hear of another one after this in the Bible, amen? The Herodian dynasty is going to end right here with this king, okay? And not today, but it's going to end with this king, okay? And thank God for that. And so and this Herod in today's text, his grandfather, okay, was the Herod that tried to kill Jesus as a baby. Amen? So just so you kind of know. And all the Herods were kind of famous for bad things, amen? That was his grandfather. And no, that was his great-grandfather. And then his grandfather was the Herod that beheaded John the Baptist, right? And then, of course, his father was the one that martyred the first apostle, James. So they had a history, right? A famous history of doing some famously horrible things against God and his church, amen? And so he came from a lineage of great evil is what I like to say, right? And now his father, Agrippa I, he died in chapter 12. Remember, he was eaten by worms, right? He was eaten by worms because he was acting like a god, and they were treating him like a god, and he had them fancy, flashy clothes on, robes on. And, he ended up being eaten by worms, amen? But God was going to humble him, amen? God would humble him, and he would die. So this is his son, okay? And you better believe that he knows about God, okay? He knows about God and he knows about Jesus of Nazareth. After going through all these things, he knows a lot more than Festus, at least. Amen? That's the point, okay? Festus didn't know much about Jesus, okay? Festus didn't know. He was a governor, but he didn't know much about Jesus. And remember when he said a dead man named Jesus, right? Obviously, no reverence whatsoever, right? But he didn't even really know who he was, a dead man named Jesus. If you don't know that he's alive, then you don't know Jesus, right? Amen? A dead man named Jesus. And now when Agrippa I, when he died that horrible death by worms, his son was not old enough to take over, okay, as the king, okay? King Agrippa II, he wasn't old enough yet. So Rome would rule the district with governors, okay? And governors like Pontius Pilate, right? Felix and Festus, these were the governors. There was 14 of them, in fact, that would rule over Judea before Agrippa II was old enough to rule himself. Amen? And they would rule until he came of age. And during this time, they wouldn't let him rule over much, okay? But they did let him rule over some things. And he was allowed to oversee the affairs of the temple in Jerusalem. Okay, so he knew the inner workings of the people of the way. Amen. And he was to oversee the temple also in Jerusalem. And so this King Agrippa II, he was making the rounds, okay? He wasn't really ruling yet, but he was making the rounds and visiting the governors. And that's what he was doing here, visiting Governor Felix, amen? And he knows about the spreading of Christianity and the followers of the way. And so he's visiting, and it says that he brings Bernice, okay? Bernice. Now, we all assume that Bernice is probably his wife, right? But this Bernice lady is actually his sister, okay? Bernice is his sister. And, okay, no big deal, right? He's close with his sister, right? Royal family, what have you, right? But you see, she had been married. Bernice had been married to someone, and then her husband died, okay? And after her husband died, she moved in with her brother, Herod, King Herod, okay? And well, they spent a lot of time together. In fact, every time you see Herod's name in the text in the New Testament, it's accompanied by her name, right? Bernice, his sister. Amen. Rumors were that their relationship was incestuous. All right, it was incestuous, and so brother and sister were having sexual relations. Amen. And the rumor was confirmed by certain historians, even non-Christian historians, amen. Flavius Josephus wrote that their relationship was indeed incestuous. So it's a fact, right? It's a written fact, amen. And so in this is the last of the crazy Herod family, okay? The last of them, right? And so he's going to go out with a bang, right? He's pretty crazy. Now, Festus, the governor, he was new to this post, and he was unfamiliar with Jewish customs and Jewish traditions, so that's why he was letting King Agrippa kind of oversee this, because he knew more about these things, amen? He's going to kind of help him out. He was confused about Paul's case, okay? He was confused about this case, because he just inherited it, right? It wasn't even his case, amen? He just inherited it, he was confused, so he's trying to get some help. And because he was so uninformed, the case was going to go on. Even though there was no evidence, right? We said this over and over. There's no evidence that he did anything wrong, right? They just didn't like what he was doing. But God's will was going to be done regardless, right? No matter what they did, no matter what evidence they had or didn't have, God's will was going to be done. And Festus would ask King Agrippa II to hear the case, okay? Not to judge on the case, all right? But to hear the case. He was going to be more like a mediator. And this was going to be more like a hearing than a trial, okay? So just try to gather information, and we'll get to the reason why he's doing all this too, okay? And so Paul was going to have to face this King Agrippa, okay? He was going to have to face him, but of course Paul's not going to hesitate to speak the truth to anybody, amen? Even the evil Herod, right? He's still going to tell him the truth, right? And so Festus continues speaking to Herod, and he says, it says that he asked Paul if he'd be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial, right? And it goes on to say, but when Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision, I ordered him held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear this man myself, of course. He replied, tomorrow you're going to hear him. Tomorrow you'll hear him. The next day Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp. Okay, we're going to explain what that word means too. With great pomp, and they entered the audience room with high-ranking military officers and the prominent men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Now the word pomp, okay? I got to grab my water for this. Hold on. The word pomp, here we go. In the Greek language, it means fancy procession or display. All right, so they were really fancy, right? So I'm sure they were all dressed up, right, in their fancy clothes, fancy robes, gold, maybe even a crown on, right? Trying to look more important than he really was, okay? That's the point. And I'm sure. I guess you could say they were straight pomping, right? Joke, anyway. Whatever. Sorry, I had to do that. Anyway. So, get it? Did you guys get it? Okay. So, So everybody's dressed to the nines, amen? And with all the officials there, they're bringing Paul in, right? And the prisoner is going to face the pompous rulers, okay? So the prisoner on this side is going to face the pompous rulers over here. Talk about a culture clash, amen? This is a culture clash. You got royalty in the world over here, and you got royalty in Christ over here, right? That's the clash, amen? That's the real clash. And you got one side in charge, right? And you got one side in chains. Amen? One side in charge, one side in chains. And they said King Agrippa was standing tall and pompous. Next slide. That's a kind of a picture that I like pulled up. So that's King Agrippa, right? He's standing tall, he's standing pompous. And we have some accounts also that suggest that Paul was a small man. All right, I always think of him as a big guy. I don't know why, but small man with balding hair, crooked legs, and a hooked nose. Sort of like that. About this tall, right? Said he was like less than 5 feet tall, but I don't know. I like to think he looked more like this, right? That's kind of the Paul that I remember, right? Amen? But in either case, not remember, but, you know. I'm not that old, no. From pictures, okay? From pictures. All right. But in either case, okay, the pompous king's looking down on a little man in chains, all right, according to them, and saying all this commotion over this one little man. You know, what's the big deal over this one little man? But you see, in that courtroom, the most important, relevant person was that little bald man that loved Jesus, amen? That little bald man that loved Jesus and spoke the truth, and he would not be intimidated by any king, any pompous ruler, or anyone else for that matter, amen? He was going to speak the truth, right? Like he was 10 feet tall, amen? What could they do with the Apostle Paul, right? What could they do with the Apostle Paul? He was one committed guy. They would say, Paul, if you don't quit preaching, we're going to stone you, right? And, well, that's been done before, he'd say, right? Go ahead, go for it. I'm still here. They say, look, Paul, if you don't quit preaching, we're going to throw you in jail, right? So, well, can you send me back to Philippi? Because I got more work to do over there still, right? I think I got another guard I need to help get saved, amen? If you could just send me back there. Paul, if you don't quit preaching, we're going to kill you, right? Don't tell him that. Could you please, he would tell him, I've been in a lot of trouble for a long time, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. To die is gain. Go ahead. Do me a favor. Amen. Do me a favor. Send me on my way. So what do you do with the Apostle Paul, right? What do they do with him? You can't kill him. According to him, he's already dead. Dead to sin. Amen. Dead to sin and saved by Christ. You can't kill him, right? And that's what all the world should strive to be. Amen. All of us. Dead to sin and alive in Christ. Even in death, we are the victors. Verse 24, Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man, this short little man, the whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not live any longer. I found he had done nothing deserving of death, but because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to His Majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think it is unreasonable to send a prisoner on to Rome without specifying the charges against him. Sounds pretty concerned, right? Truth is, he's concerned about himself. Amen. He's got to do this the right way. Amen. Or the emperor is going to have some words for the governor. But in verse 25, he plainly says, "I have found that he had done nothing deserving of death." Right. First thing he says. Right. Now Luke wrote this. Okay. Now Luke felt that it was an important statement to put in this text. Okay. That he felt he had done nothing wrong. Festus knew, or at least thought, that Paul did not deserve death. Amen? He was on his side in that. And second, in verse 26, he says that he had set up this hearing so that he may have something to write in the letter as he sends Paul to Rome, right? Festus couldn't send Paul to Caesar with a letter that said, we find no fault in him, right? You can't send somebody to the Supreme Court that's not guilty, right? And just and say, hey, can you guys vote on it? Like, no, he's not guilty. Why are we going to vote on it, right? So he had to get a good letter. And remember, Festus likes to follow the rules of the law. He likes to follow the law of the land, amen, if you will. Besides, it wasn't going to go well for Festus if he sent an innocent man to Rome, okay? But Festus didn't realize, what he didn't realize was that God's providence, okay? It was God's providence, we talked about this, not his decisions that was going to send Paul to Rome, right? God's providence was going to send him there. And it was a divine appointment, right? It was a divine appointment that nobody could stop, not even Paul, amen? This was a divine appointment. You guys understand divine appointments, amen? That's why we're all here today, right? Amen? So the Apostle Paul specifically tells us in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, he says that our afflictions are God-appointed, right? It's not our choice. It's not our, we can't deny it. Our afflictions are God-appointed. That means God specially designs our trials, right? We're all going to go through some trials, amen? God specifically designs those trials to the right specifications with the intent of reaching our hearts and changing our hearts. Amen? Now, I don't know about everyone else, but I can tell you that after every arrest, trial, conviction, and jail sentence that I ever received, after it changed me. Amen? Those experiences in my life changed me. There were many times I sat there thinking to myself, why is this happening to me? Right? What did I do so bad? Why is this happening to me? Even after I became a Christian and got married, there would be arrest and jail time for things that I had done in the past. And once again, I'd say to myself, why is this happening to me? I'm doing everything right. Amen? Why is this happening to me? But God, see, God was not done refining, right? I might have thought he was done, but he wasn't done, right? God knew what I needed and when I needed it. And apparently one more trial is what Pastor Robert needed, right? One more trial. Hopefully one more trial. Amen? Because I can tell you today, I'm never going back to, like that song said, right? I'm never going back to that life. Amen? I can tell you that today. And I have a new life in Christ. And this sermon today, and every sermon, amen, that I preach is another opportunity, okay? Like the sermon title says, another opportunity to testify to what God has done in my life, right? That's what this is, amen? And what he can do in your life as well, right? That's why we preach, amen? And if we just give it all to God, he will change your life and continue to change your life. And so not knowing anything about God's will or Paul's intended mission for Christ, Festus says in the last verse that he thinks it was unreasonable to send a prisoner to Rome without specifying the charges, right? I believe that he was more worried about himself, okay, his own fate facing Caesar than anything else. But you see, we have to look beyond the pomp, amen? We got to look beyond the pomp or the pageantry in this world and see what's really going on in Christ. We got to look past everything in the world. Amen? No matter how fancy it looks, look past that and look to Christ. That's why it's about a relationship. Amen? Amen? So there they had Festus. There he is. Festus and Agrippa with his sister. And they're all in their fancy clothes and their jewelry sitting on these bema seats, right? They're elevated. And then you have this man, as they kept referring to Paul as, you know, brought in as a prisoner in chains, amen, with tattered clothes. Now, if we're to judge everyone in that room by the world standards, amen, we would probably choose Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice and all their pompous garb to be the most important people there, right? But the truth is that this man right here, Paul, is the most important person, amen? Paul and the Jesus he preached are the two most important people in that room. This is the amazing way God works, okay? Because God and His people are eternal, right? Yes. Festus and them, they're not eternal. We wouldn't even know Felix and Festus if we hadn't read Acts 23 and 24. Amen? But I'm pretty sure most of the world knows who Paul the apostle is. Amen? And, you know, the most important part of every trial he was in and in every city that he visited was the fact that people were being saved by the gospel. Right? That's the most important thing. Amen? And in life, we have to learn through God's word that salvation is the most important thing we will ever receive in our lives. Right? Salvation is the most important thing. And once we receive it, we must look at every day, right? And every situation and every conversation as another opportunity for us to share that gospel, to share that love that God has shown us, amen? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what yesterday's event was all about, right? Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do, amen? We're not just called to be Sunday Christians, right? When we leave here, we're called to be a witness for Christ in everything we do and everyone we meet. Amen? So next week, we're going to hear Paul do just that. Amen? He's going to give his testimony one more time, okay? With no pomp, right? No fancy music and all that. He's just going to come in, and he's going to give them the truth with no fear. Amen? With no fear. And God's word is going to change people's hearts, whether they know it or not. And he's going to bring the mighty and matchless word of God, right? And that's what we're called to do as well. So remember, your life is a testimony, amen? And give it every chance you get, tell of what God's done for you, amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this powerful reminder, Father, that we all have a testimony. And that we all have a testimony when we put you first in our lives, a testimony of what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do in our lives. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the strength you give us, for the provision you give us, for the healing that you've brought, the miraculous healing that you bring to our church and to your people and your children, Father. We praise you on this day, Lord. We ask that you bless all those who couldn't be here today and that you continue to bless all those that are struggling with sickness, and with everything else, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.